Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how we doing this week? We're 1 week into college football.
Well, first of all, there were games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday last weekend. Like, it was like sort of like a regular, like if you're just a football fan, you have the college and the NFL. Well, then you get college football Friday, Saturday. This was all college football, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It was fantastic. A lot of interesting games. We're probably going to touch on a little bit of it as we look at Penn State in the bigger national picture, but
it was good
to watch some real live football that mattered.
It was, and we will get to that, Andy. Let's start, as tradition over the years,
yep.
You're at the end of the week. You get the final say, the final word on last week's game against Nevada. Went pretty much, I guess, as expected.
100% as expected. Like, you know, you check several boxes. You learned a little bit here and there. It was maniacally surgical, I guess is a way to put it. It was very efficient, very effective. It was getting the job done. And it was not what you thought it would be, but it was exactly what you thought it would be, right? Like both of those at the same time. There were some shortcomings. It was exactly what you thought it would be that left just enough of an unsatisfying taste in your mouth that you have a want for more. That is the way I will sum up Nevada. They weren't able to provide much opposition. They really weren't. They were rebuilding their roster team. They lost almost all of their elite, quote unquote, talent was gone. And I think that showed up. But there is some things that Penn State could point to this week going forward. But overall, it was kind of a boring game, Jimmy. Is that a good way? I mean, I watched some of it, but I was flicking away from it because I'm like, this is boring. And it's not that Penn State was doing anything wrong. It's just like they could kill this team 72-0, or they could just, you know, it could just be 42-0 and just ride out 25 minutes a clock at that score for no reason. So they could do exactly what they wanted to do. I thought Nevada's defense provided some exposure to Penn State's offense on some things that Penn State and its coaching staff can really work on. I'm sure we'll hit on that. But overall, exactly what you'd want and expect, but just enough of unsatisfying to leave you wanting for more. In the course over these first 12 quarters, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Well, I think one of the factors in this game, and this was on Nevada, and I do not blame them for this, they wanted to shorten the game as much as possible. When they had the ball, they let the play clock wind down as much as possible. Penn State, and this is, I don't know if I'll call it a criticism, at least a critique I had of them a season ago. There were games that I felt like they were dominating, but they didn't put a lot of points on the board because they were so methodical driving the ball down the field.
Correct. They did
so
it again.
So you combined with both teams, that there were few possessions, Andy. There were not a lot of possessions for both teams.
Yeah.
And even, you know, I think those who want to be critical of Penn State's running game, my goodness, it was such a small sample. You know, Nick Singleton, 8 carries. Are you going to come to any conclusion because of 8 carries?
No, you're not going to come to any conclusions, but you can definitely point something that needs attention, right? Like you were talking about, the clock seemed to be moving really fast. I think there were under 3 minutes left in the first quarter, and I think Penn State was getting the ball for the second time, right? Or 4 minutes. And I'm like, good gracious, most of the first quarter's already gone. But they themselves had a 13-play drive to open the game, right? That methodical drive that you're talking about.
Right. That's my point. You know, Penn State does that. Like, I think specifically it was the Illinois game a year ago, where it's like, oh, this score is close. Well, it shouldn't have been that close. Penn State was the much better team, but they're so methodical. But it leads to, and I remember talking about this last year, Andy. At the end of the first half, the announcers were even saying, you know what, it's almost like James Franklin, kick the field goal, stop Nevada, then you get to practice your two-minute offense.
But they did that.
It came out exactly that way.
Did it
and
just
with
fine.
The two-minute offense, boom, 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 they go right down the field and score. My take, Andy, is I want Drew Aller and that offense seems so good when they do that with those two-minute offenses. I would like to see them a couple series just say, okay, we're going to run our two-minute offense here and work it down the field quickly as opposed to it's going to be a 13-play, 10-minute drive.
Sorry, Jimmy, we're now into what Jimmy wants versus what actually is needed, right? Like, want versus need, you might want that, but does Penn State really need to do that?
Hey, like you said, it's what I want, Andy. Andy, come on.
Hey,
doesn't that matter? Shouldn't that come into the game plan? But in all seriousness, Andy, I think sometimes that's the lack of explosive plays. I think when you have, okay, we're going to establish the run, we're going to do this, we run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down, then we have to pass the ball when it's third and eight, as opposed to just coming out, chucking the ball all over the place. They seem to be pretty effective at it, Andy.
I'm not sure they're effective at it, Jimmy. They and it's not what this offense is going to be built around. I'm not arguing with you. I understand what you're saying. I'll just counter with, did you know they scored the first nine times they had the football, Jimmy?
I am aware of that.
Okay, 9 for 9. So in my as I'm like in a sort of summation when we're talking about one side of the ball, and that's the offense. I think they were emphasizing the short passing game. I think that was an emphasis of this game. That was just my view of watching it. I'm like, they're really focused on making this work well right away.
And you're right. And Andy, they were looking to get touches to as many players as possible with the new receiver specifically. Correct. What I appreciate was in the post-game press conference or in his press conference this week, James Franklin actually talked about that. Hey, we want to get each guy the ball. Khalil Dinkins didn't have – I'm watching late in that game with the backups in, and I see a completion to Khalil Dinkins, and I'm like, what in the world is he doing in the game at this point? And James Franklin talked about it. Well, he hadn't gotten a touch yet, so we wanted to distribute the ball. And I think a lot of coaches do that. Very few of them will talk about it, though.
Yeah, so I looked at it because when Ethan Grunkmeyer came in, it was the exact same blueprint. They didn't change anything because the quarterback changed and there were more second-tier guys in there. That stuck out to me as the overarching plan. I think they didn't have enough bark in their bite or bite in their bark, however way you want to put it, in the kill zone. Not the red zone. I'm talking – where you've got a chance to like thump this game, they stalled, right?
Yes.
And they stalled several times when that's some spit and polish I think they need to work on. Summation-wise on the offense, I thought the quarterbacks were very effective and efficient, exactly what they wanted. But overall, the running backs had very little room to run, Jimmy. They had no room. They had nowhere to go. It was a junk defense. The passing game was not geared up to have any down-the-field threat. And lastly, I'll say the celebrated offensive line, they sort of looked out of sync and anemic to me, Jimmy. And that was sort of, you know, the takeaway was, all right, I know you're better than that. And you know you're better than that because you look definitely, and I know they were substituting a massive amount and early. I don't care. You can't look that out of sync and anemic over the course of two and a half quarters. Your first seven guys. You can't look like that. That was a bad look for the offensive line. That was my biggest takeaways from that game, offensively.
Okay. Let's hit on a couple other quick notes. James Franklin met the media, a couple things. And maybe you're not as fascinated by this as I am. I thought Riley Thompson does a pretty good job with the punting. But guess what? Gabe Wosu, the kickoff specialist, apparently he won the punting job, Andy. And it's funny because I had noticed at different rosters where he's been listed as a punter, and I'm like, huh, is that a misprint? Is that supposed to be a K there instead of a P? But apparently he's won the punting job.
Didn't get to see him in the opener. No. They never punted. So, I mean, okay, so they have two punters now. What's the difference? Yeah. If this offense is working well, they better not be punting five times in a game.
Well, my favorite comment about Gabe Wosu is he's the guy you should have coming off the bus first and have people, oh, my goodness, look how big this team is. Well, that's the kicker, you know. So right. A couple other notes. Zariah Fisher, who didn't play in the first game, the talk was James Franklin pointed out he wanted to play. He was close to ready, but this sounds like just one of those, you know what? If he's sort of ready, maybe ready, let's give it one more week. Apparently, he should be ready to play this week, which I think it's good, obviously, for the depth on the defensive line.
Yeah, they need him on the defense. I really think he, long haul, I think he's an important piece. But, I mean, defensively, at the end of the day, if you're talking about what are we talking about in Nevada, the defense won the day, right? Like, DDS, denied Dennis Sutton, was just – he was a beast in his play. The linebackers were really good. They won the day.
He was an absolute monster. Two other quick notes. It looks like Anai White has found a home at defensive tackle, moving in from defensive end. And the other thing, just a fun
story. He's not very big either, Jimmy. And that shows
defensive
you.
Defensive tackle. But correct. He would be big for a defensive end, and he thinks he might be able to carry a little bit more weight. The other funny story, he talked about, you know, watching other television games in his basement, in his boxers, which we could all relate to, sitting around watching football all day. But he also mentioned, I guess, watching film, I guess some of the other coaches, they put in a call to Cam Wallace, who had that tremendous run. He leaped over someone. They made a call to him, congratulating him for it. But don't get cocky. It's too
right. You know, Saquon Barkley, you might wear his number and you might have kind of looked like him when you jumped over that guy, but you ain't no Saquon Barkley yet. So stay humble, young man.
Yeah, that little peek into James Franklin's coaching style or just personality, I think that showed what he's about and with his team. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter one. A lot more to talk about when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. Tell you what, going forward, if you are making the trip into Happy Valley and looking for a place to stay, got the answer for you. Go PSURV.com. This is the location where they have the RVs there sitting ready and waiting for you. You just drive your car there. The RV's ready, electric, water. They've also got the food there, the fire pits, the projection TV, just a fun place to stay. You get to come in on Friday, stay through Sunday, a lot of fun, and maybe the best part, they will shuttle you to and from the game, so you don't have to worry about paying for parking, the hassle of parking, and the crowds. That's all taken care of for you. Great way to spend a Penn State weekend. Want to know more? Call 800-519-8467 or go to gopsurv.com. All right, Andy. It wasn't just Penn State, Nevada this past weekend. We had a lot of football. It was a great week one slate. You know what? I'm just opening it up, Andy. What do you want to talk about on the national scene?
Well,
lots of choices.
Texas is exactly who you thought they were, but nobody really would say who they exactly were. They were the Texas Ohio State game was, both teams were kind of in identical spots, you know, with the new quarterbacks and rebuilding. You know, Texas offensive line was completely rebuilt almost. Well, Ohio State's defensive line was completely rebuilt almost. You know what I mean? There were elements that were equal. You know, Ohio State's secondary had some meat on its bone. Texas had sort of greenhorn receivers. Texas had there were a lot of equal matchups. And while the score might have been kind of close, really the football game wasn't inside the game. It wasn't. Ohio State dominated that football game, and everywhere except the scoreboard. And Texas is still a good football team, and that's why the score was close, right? But other than that, this game was dominated by Ohio State, particularly up front. In the trenches, where I thought the game would be decided, it was decisively Ohio State's advantage. And I just don't think in those moments for Texas is, you know, they're very generic, I guess is the way to put it, and they do the things you exactly expect them to do. They're not very innovative. I know Sarkisian has a reputation as being Steve Sarkisian, their head coach, for being an offensive mind, and maybe he is, but man, they're awfully easy to defend, and they're very predictable. You know, Arch Manning, it wasn't even the best quarterback in that game. All the hype, I'm like, look, you got to give him a few chapters. Come on. I mean, putting him on a Heisman list is just stupid. Well, but
Andy, it was crazy, the buildup. And
stupid.
You know, I will pat myself on the back where I said, why is Arch Manning this odds-on favorite to win the Heisman? All that. They're going crazy for him when, you know what, let him play a few games. And Julian saying also new quarterback for Ohio State. I really do think, Andy, I'm not saying that these were not two good teams.
They're two good teams. They're two good teams.
But that quarterback position, it's going to be which one on which side develops better. They will be different quarterbacks. Probably in a few weeks, let alone when playoff time comes. But which one of those two quarterbacks is going to mature the most, improve the most, settle in the most? A couple other games, Andy. How surprised were you by Florida State's just total domination of Alabama?
I wasn't. What I was surprised, I wasn't at all. I'll just tell you, I was at a wedding bridal shower that was literally right next door for our longtime neighbors, and one of their sons is getting married, and they hosted a thing, and of course they had a TV outside at the picnic because it was a backyard picnic, and everybody's watching the football game, and these are younger people, and they all have their DraftKings app, and they were like blah blah, and I'm like, they all bet on Texas, and I'm like, you're all wrong. This was before the game started because the party started at noon, well, 1 o'clock. But I'm like, you guys all maybe you do something now to counter it. But I'm like, jump on Ohio State. And then so they were all like on me, like, and they were like, what about Florida? And I'm like, I'm not saying Alabama's not going to win the game. They could. But I think Florida State has some elements that could really give them problems. And I think Florida State's going to win the football game. So they were all betting on it, you know, their little $5 bets. And I wasn't surprised. But what did surprise me a little bit, I'll be honest with you, Jimmy, did Alabama look unprepared to play? That's coaching, right? Like they look completely unprepared for the pushback or the kickback or the sort of like, we got dogs too, that Florida State kind of threw at them. They look completely unprepared for that. That football wise, Alabama looked ignorantly arrogant. They don't know they're ignorant because they're so darn arrogant. And they were poorly coached and prepared. That's not the player's fault. That's a full 100% coaching thing. More than anything, what stuck out to me was Florida State believed it could play with them, and Alabama was shocked that it was a football game and looked completely unprepared for a fight like it became. They looked completely unprepared. And as it drifted into the second half and into the middle of the third quarter, late the third quarter, they were getting worse instead of being ready for the fight. That means you're unprepared. So that's what struck me more than anything, is they look completely unprepared for a team that was 2-10 a year ago but had elements.
Perhaps the reality is this is not Nick Saban's Alabama anymore.
Now, all those records, like the first loss is like, you know, against a non-conference, unranked, all those things that were longtime Alabamas, they still have a extremely talented roster, Jimmy. Like, I'm watching them play, and I'm like, they've got dudes, right? Like, they've got football. That it's not like they've lost their mojo in terms of being able to recruit, having talent, or they're having to, you know, do a little more with a little bit less. That's not the case. That's a different animal, Jimmy.
Andy, I got to stop you here and remind you of words of wisdom, okay, that a very, very smart football analyst told me. I was going to say told me once, but he actually told me this multiple times, okay?
Okay.
It's not always, Andy, about getting the best players.
Oh,
it's about getting the right players, okay? So I'm not going to share with you who told me that, but it was a very, very wise man. And you wonder if that's the case. I think we see examples of that all over college football for the years. When, you know, you see Texas A&M and their acquisition of talent. You know, Ole Miss the year they were by far the best recruiting class in the country. And it doesn't always translate. Maybe these guys who wear the headset, these coaches, Andy, maybe they actually have an effect on these games.
Well, college, you know, at the collegiate level, like, you know, it rises with each level. They are still kind of the centerpieces of the program, right? Like, especially now with free agency. Well, I mean, transfer portal. You know what I mean? NIL and transfer portal. They've kind of, their job has changed a lot in the last 5 years, but the impact that they have as in the center of the storm is not any less. It's changed a lot how they have to get there, but it's still the same.
If anything, Andy, it might be more critical because you've got to set the tone with that free agency, and you have players going places strictly for the paycheck. It's going on. And I don't blame the players for that, but you do get, I think, a lot of bad fits where people, you know, you're just throwing money at talent, not necessarily the right player. Speaking of coaches and the effect, I do have to ask you about Monday night, North Carolina, Andy, Bill Belichick, the GOAT.
That was embarrassing. There's no other way to put it. I mean, it was, they looked overmatched and underprepared. I don't know that they're overmatched. But it looked like they were overmatched, and it was just that was just bad, Jimmy. That was just bad. I mean, it was 40 some unanswered points in a row, and just they looked lost. They looked lost. Alabama didn't look lost. Alabama looked unprepared. North Carolina looked lost.
And
that's
Andy,
different.
I think one of the things, it's not a case of, and again, I'm going to pat myself on the back one more time, and it's probably too early to make a judgment after one game, but
correct.
I thought from the beginning, and I believe I share this with you, I thought it would be a disaster. I think coaching the NFL is different than coaching in college. They're two different animals, two very different jobs. It doesn't mean Bill Belichick will be awful at it, but it just means, you know, just because you're a good plumber doesn't mean you'll be a good carpenter. You know, they're two different skill sets. And that's what I think would be the issue here. And boy, it showed out. And, you know, at what point does Bill Belichick does he tune out? Because it's just not working for him.
I don't know why he left the job he had. Like, he had a legacy cemented, right? His legacy was cemented. Then he was doing the media gig, and you thought, what is that grumpy old man going to bring to any table? And then all of a sudden, he kind of flourishes in that role, right? Like, you're kind of attracted to the way he presents it to you to a degree, right? Like, he starts to rise in that role, and it's like, wow, he's this great, brilliant, like, you know, historical type NFL head coach that now is fun to listen to and to hear him talk about what he became great at. And he gives all of that up to be a college coach or just to coach again, because the NFL obviously clearly didn't want him. It just shows you, Jimmy, that sometimes, you know, you're 70 something years old. Enjoy life. The arrogance runs high.
Exactly. And I made, you know, similar comments, very different circumstances. Yeah. Dylan DeBoer was doing great at Washington. Why take the Alabama job? You know? All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. You know what's coming up. It's Ask Andy next.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. And he's all excited because he gets to stop listening to my questions and he gets to start listening to your questions. I'll tell you what, it's just like a long marriage, Andy. You just tune me out now, don't you? You need the thrill of some outsider asking you a question.
I like it because it's a little less predictable. I like when you...
I've become too routine and too predictable for you, Andy.
Well, we've been... That is a product of time, Jimmy. I need you to flank me more.
All right. We're going to make this an open relationship so that you could answer questions from outsiders, Andy. Let's get going. Let's start with Steve from Chicago. I know you alluded to this already, but hello, Andy. Game thoughts. Impressed by the O-line or not? Great show.
Not. And I grant them the rotation because they were rotating guys early, right? Like very, 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 very early. But overall, I know it was a junk defense. I know there were like five-man fronts and stuff that Nevada was thrown out. You better get that's coming, right? Like, you gotta, when you say, okay, what do you got to do for Penn State? Well, you got to stop the running game and those running backs and make Drew Aller throw and beat you. End of story. That's it. It's that simple. And I'm not saying they weren't abjectly bad, Jimmy. I'm not saying oh my gosh, the offensive line was terrible. They got so much work to do, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm saying for the expectation that you would have of them, they didn't show it. You know, they looked out of sync and anemic. They didn't look bad. They didn't look short on talent or have an inability to function as an offensive line. That's not what I'm saying. I just think they looked out of sync and a little bit anemic. And that was probably one of my bigger concerns and takeaways from that game was I was surprised more than anything at that. I'm not saying they had to be the world beaters and the difference in the football game. That's not it. I just thought at the level of expectation and being realistic, they underperformed at a level that kind of stood out to me.
And I think it was just a weird kind of game, Andy. And I think if there's any lesson in there, despite what James Franklin says that the preparation is the same and so on, they knew who they were playing. And it was more about the end result was never in doubt. It was about trying to accomplish certain things, get touches here, you know, let's see this, let's see that. But in a real competitive game, you know, you expect them to look at that defense and say, okay, here's how we attack it. If they're going to do that, we're going to show you that we believe in our quarterback, that we believe in our receivers, and we've got a lot of other weapons. We don't have to just pound it down your throat. All right. As you might expect, Andy, a lot of questions from last week's game. Here's Barry from Hagerstown who says, deny Dennis Sutton looked great in the first game. Were you as impressed as I was, Andy?
No, I wasn't, Barry. You know why? Because that's exactly what I expected him to do. He's a beast. That's what you expect him to do. That's kind of, is it still impressive per se? Yeah, but is it a surprise? In other words, for, you know, Steve's question about the O-line, I don't think the O-line's motor was humming. I don't think they had a lot of, you know, I don't think they had a lot of bark in them. They weren't trying. They didn't feel they had to do that. May, you know, that's just my view, was they didn't feel that they had to be that. Denied Dennis Sutton saw another colored jersey and was frothing at the mouth, right? That's what I want out of my offensive line for two or three series in a game like that. That's exactly what he did in his limited time on the field, Jimmy. Here's how I'll tell you, Barry. Deny Dennis Sutton is exactly who you think he is. And he will be, game in and game out, exactly who you think he is. That, what you saw against Nevada is exactly who he is and will be. That's what 33 is to this defense.
And Andy, you know, I think there's always this concern when, you know, you have a guy like Abdul Carter, who obviously was the best player on that defense. He was the point of emphasis from everywhere. You know, the opponent, Penn State's defense.
Yep.
And could deny Dennis Sutton step up and take that role? Yep. And yes, he can. Okay. I think is the clear answer. And I think part of it, Andy, is when there's a guy who he expects greatness from himself. He is not shying away from being the guy. He welcomes being the guy, okay? And I think that's an attitude that will serve him well. You got to want to be great. You got to want to be everybody's focus and show them, you know, you can't stop me. And by the way, just as an aside, maybe the most impressive play for me from him was a play that you could say he wasn't even a factor. It was a read option kind of thing. Quarterback puts it in the belly of the running back, pulls it out to keep it himself, and it is a good thing because Dennis Sutton just slaughtered the running back. He got there so quick. That was his responsibility.
I was going to say that was his job.
And he did his job with emphasis, Andy. It was very impressive. And like I said, the poor guy didn't even have the ball, and he almost had his head taken off. Okay, let's go to Sammy in Hanover, who says, what team impressed you the most in week one? And also, who was your biggest disappointment?
The team that impressed me the most was LSU. Not because they won the football game, but because of the way they had to do it. And Clemson, that was a toss-up game. And LSU made it hard on Clemson. Clemson made it hard on LSU. Both those sort of next-level elite quarterbacks had a hard time making hay, both of them, right? Nussmeier and Klubnik and Kay Klubnik both had a hard time being the dogs they want to be as quarterbacks in that game. Credit to both defenses for that. LSU, I think they impressed me because they had to do it differently. It wasn't like they had to score 32 points to win the game and the other team scored 29, right? Like they had to do it differently than you might picture LSU, and they had to dig extra deep in order to do it because their most effective weapon, which is their quarterback, wasn't the guy that was just going to chuck it all over the field and win the game for him. So the team I was impressed the most with LSU, the team I was the most disappointed in back in the SEC was Alabama because they looked unprepared. Not because Florida State beat them, because to me it wasn't. It was a 60-40 game with Alabama being the 60 going in. I thought Florida State overperformed. And I thought Alabama kind of performed at an okay level, but they looked unprepared for a little bit of sideways, like they didn't expect it to be a football game. That's coaching. That's disappointment from Alabama.
Andy, if I had to answer the question, I'd probably just go to the same game. Florida State impressive, Alabama unimpressive. Yeah. But just, you know, for a couple other teams, let's not forget about Miami beating Notre Dame.
Yeah, really good win. Good win. Now, not the ACC favorite yet. Relax, lighten up, people. But, yes, very much in the conversation, yeah.
It was a very good weekend for the ACC. Boy, if Clemson had won, it would have been a great weekend for the ACC. Yeah. But Miami and Florida State each getting the wins they did against Alabama and Notre Dame were huge. As far as disappointments, boy, you've got to throw North Carolina in there also, Andy.
Yeah, good call. Sammy from Hanover asked for one, so I gave one. But you're taking our shove a little deeper. I'm okay with that. Yeah, and North Carolina, gosh, that was just like – that was kind of sad watching. It was like, oh, this is – and I'm not a Belichick guy. I don't necessarily – I'm not a fan, but I'm like, oh, this is bad.
No. I'm not a fan either, Andy, but – you had what I love about college football was all there, the home game, the night game, because right, yeah. It was Monday night. It was a national audience, everybody watching, all the celebrities there. You know, everyone, yeah. North Carolina celebrity was there for this game, Andy. This was set up for
major
them
wins,
to,
right?
to win. Yeah, and
have, just it
was like their version of a whiteout. You know,
it was cringy. It was awful. It made you cringe. It was so bad, Jimmy.
It did. All right. Let's go to Jack in Arlington.
Hey, Jack.
Jack says, I thought the new wide receivers looked the part, Andy. What did you see from them?
And exactly what they wanted out of them. I mean, what was I think? Which two of them combined for like 17 catches? Trevor,
Pena and Kyron
Hudson. Yeah, Hudson and Pena combined had 17 catches. All of it was inside the box. Like all of it was sort of in a, you know, in what I felt was a set window for them. I don't know their target to catch ratio, but I saw them making the easy catches look easy.
I think, Andy, one was 7 out of 8 and the other was like 8 out of 10, something to that effect.
They made the easy catches look easy, and they caught the balls that were thrown where they should have caught them. So step one, baby step one, very efficient and effective. It looks like there is a little bit of possibility at that position now.
I'll give you my 2 cents. I know first game a year ago, we thought Trey Wallace looked like he was ready for big time. But, yes, they caught the balls they were supposed to. Number two, Kyron Hudson, that one catch along the sideline. The announcers were convinced it was not a completion because it was such a tough play. He made it, got the foot down, did all the things, the hand catch. It was not necessarily an easy catch. So I'll take that with from Kyron Hudson. And the other thing I saw, and again, it's Nevada, Andy.
Correct.
But they got separation.
A little bit. Just a little bit, Jimmy. And not a lot, but a little bit. The one thing, real quick, Kyron Hudson stands out to me as the one that has the most potential to be a three-level receiver.
All right, Andy, that's the last word for quarter three. We got more to go, including looking at the national rankings when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State and all of college football. It's quarter four. Andy, of course, national rankings will be coming out every week.
Every week.
Got to take a look at them. This number one, Texas went down. In fact, Texas went down. Clemson went down. Alabama went down. Notre Dame went down. That's four. I think they were all in the top eight, Andy, definitely in the top 10. So some of that, you know, obviously there were top 10 matchups, which was fantastic. The new rankings came out. Just to give you a quick, the top 10, Ohio State number one, Penn State two, LSU three, Georgia, Miami, Oregon. Then we had our losing teams from the first week, Texas, Clemson, Notre Dame, and South Carolina number 10. Let's start at the top, Andy. Penn State had been number two to Texas in the AP poll. Any surprise that Ohio State jumped from number three to number one?
No, Penn State played a tomato can, and three beat one. I don't care who you are. If you're three and you beat one, you should go above two every time and twice on Sunday. End of story. Penn State plays another top 10 team in their opener and wins, you know, by three touchdowns, then you've got a little bark in the fight. But no, Penn State had no dog in the possibly being ranked number one fight. Plus, Ohio State's the defending national champions, and they just validated, right? Overhauled roster, a little bit of an overhauled coaching staff. They validated. They made Texas look anemic. Kind of beginning to end, Jimmy. They were the better team. First whistle to last whistle, and it at times it wasn't close at all, and at times it was maybe a little bit closer, but it still really wasn't ever. Texas never had a moments in that game where it was, they never had grabbed the mojo where they clearly looked like the better team. That never happened at all. Both sides of the ball. Ohio State really had handle that game start to finish. They were dominant except on the scoreboard. They dominated.
Ohio State was the better team. This was more of a 14-0 game than a 14-7 game.
Oh, it was more a 28-7 game than a 14-7 game. Yeah, that's the way it was. You're right.
And the other part to this, Andy, is who cares?
Right. Yeah, kind of. We got 12-team college football playoff to look forward to at the end of the year. Oh, I said it. We're just getting started.
And Andy, you also have, you know, as Penn State, I think a Penn State fan's got, well, first of all, they got to beat Oregon in a couple weeks. Okay. Right. There's your top 10 team, your top 10 matchup. But what that does, and yes, I know there are games between Oregon and Ohio State, but, yeah. If Penn State could get through Oregon, Andy, the path is set up for a monumental game, Ohio State, Penn State, which, by the way, if they're both undefeated going into that game, I'm not sure how much it really matters who wins that game, because we might get a rematch in the conference championship game, and then we might get another rematch in the playoff. So it may eventually be a 2 out of 3 kind of match between those two teams, Andy. And I know I'm putting the cart before the horse there.
Very much putting a cart well ahead of the horse.
I am, Andy, but that's what I do. That's
slow down. I'm going to bring us back and say, I'm not sure why you'd rank LSU ahead of Georgia. I would have flopped them and put Georgia third. Just because I know LSU beat Clemson. It was a toss-up game. Georgia played a tomato can. Georgia was ranked higher going in, right? Just give LSU a little cover and don't put them as the SEC top dog. Like, rankings-wise, you don't want to rank a team higher than they should be. And I just think, while I was duly impressed with the way they won the game, I just don't think it doesn't serve them well to be ranked ahead of Georgia right now. I thought that was like, oh gosh, don't do that.
Andy, I'm not here to serve the SEC, nor LSU, nor Georgia, just to say who should be. I think teams should be rewarded more for their wins. Ohio State beat the number one team in the country. I would actually make an argument that LSU should go ahead of Penn State. The fact that LSU went on the road and beat Clemson makes it all the more impressive. If it had gone the other way, you know, if LSU had won at home, good, like the win, but doing it on the road, Andy, I'm very impressed with it. I don't have a problem with LSU ahead of Georgia. And even, you know, if they had put Miami ahead of Georgia, I would not have gone crazy either. Again, okay. That one was at home, but they beat a very good. Going into this season, boy, I was so impressed with what Marcus Freeman did a year ago. I was like, you know what? He's going to have his team ready, and Miami's going to Miami it somehow here. And didn't happen, Andy. So I was impressed with Miami, but I still don't have a problem with the rankings. My next question, though, to you is Texas, Clemson, and Notre Dame, 7-8-9 after losses. Have any issue with that?
No, none at all. They're still really good football teams, Jimmy. I was least impressed of those three by Texas. They impressed me the least. I think, you know, despite, you know, kind of earlier this week, Dabo said, you know, it's like giving a final exam grade on the first test for LSU and Clemson. I agree, and I thought both of them got a similar grade. I was equally as impressed with Miami winning as I was with Notre Dame losing. I thought they were two equals. If Notre Dame had won the game, I'd say I'm still equally as impressed that Notre Dame won and the way Miami performed. Like, the result was kind of a wash for me in that game, the way both teams played. There was a lot to gravitate to for both Miami and Notre Dame. There was a little bit to gravitate to for LSU and Clemson, there was absolutely nothing to gravitate to towards for Texas. Nothing grabbed me for Texas. Nothing.
Andy, we just got done with week one. You made reference to the playoff, so that allows me to do it also, okay? Here's my question for you. Clemson, Miami, and Florida State from the ACC, are all three of them playoff teams?
No. Only two of them will make it, at the most.
Which two?
I'm not sure yet. Can you give me a couple more weeks?
But no,
I
think No.
Not, you know what,
week
Jimmy?
One.
No.
You had 1 week, Andy.
I'm not prepared to do it after 1 week, but I think they're all viable candidates, but I think they will sort of beat themselves up a little bit. If you had to put me in a corner and say right now, I mean, Florida State's the most, I would say Florida State out. That would be my gut right now.
Do you know what?
Since you're pushing me,
is interesting going into this week, this past weekend, Andy. I thought Clemson's game against LSU was really Clemson carrying the ACC banner. Okay, and a loss and perhaps a bad loss would be disastrous for the ACC. But the fact that it was Florida State and Miami, each getting out of conference huge wins. And there's still a thought that Clemson might be the best team in the conference. You know, it's going to be tough with comparable records to take Notre Dame in the playoffs over Miami or
right now,
Alabama over Florida State when right, you get close to the end, Andy.
Let's not knee-jerk a little bit. Let's give us a little more
time.
Come
on, but Andy. That's our job.
Here's the big picture that I'll give you in a small sample. Like, this is the way I'll do it. I was impressed at the way both quarterbacks in the Miami-Notre Dame game overperformed for different reasons, right? Like, Carson Beck is a proven commodity coming off a disastrous, tragic, you know, possibly career-ending injury and performing like he did. Give me more of that. CJ Carr, the underdog who won the job when he shouldn't have won the job. The way he performed, particularly in clutch time, give me more of that. Both those teams come away, even though a result tells you one team win, one team lost, both those teams took huge step forward in despite the result. That's just the way I look at it. I think those two teams intrigued me more than anything from this weekend.
All right, Andy, we got 2 minutes left. I always
yes.
got to give you enough time.
If you do.
Penn State, Florida International coming up. It's a, like a 41-point spread.
Right. Same as last week, right?
Need a prediction for the game, and I need a bold prediction from you.
Yeah. So for lack of a better term, let's get the running game going and let's not have the offensive line like they were kind of bored, disinterested, and a little bit lazy like they were last week. Is that fair, Jimmy? Is that a fair assessment?
And I think James Franklin will look at it and say, hey, we need to do that.
Right.
So I would bet on that happening.
Don't look bored and lazy for four more quarters and bring the total to 8, right? Let's not do that. You can't control your opponent, but you can control what you get accomplished against them. My prediction is Penn State 49, Nevada 13. And my bold prediction, it was embarrassing last week, so I'm going to run it back, Jimmy. 150-plus yards rushing for a Penn State running back. One of them. I don't know which one. Give me one of them. Put it together, boys, because you've got more – you got the right guys, and you got the best guys. Let's make it look like that.
All right. I'm going to go 49-7, Andy. But we're thinking the same way along the bold predictions. You know, last week I thought there would be a big play by a Cam Wallace, who he showed something, Andy, I thought, in that game. We didn't talk about it, and not just the leap. I thought he looked really quick. But I think there will be an emphasis on the running game. I don't know how bold it. Well, I guess it is bold. I'll restrict it to the first two guys. Catron Allen, Nick Singleton will combine for over 200 yards.
I don't think that's far outside the box. We're both focused on the same thing, right? Which is their bread and butter, their meat and potatoes. Let's take a step forward. Let's take one small step. Could be a giant step. Just, I'm looking for an 18-yard ripoff run. I'm looking for followed up by a 37-yard ripoff run, a couple of 9-yard inside the box runs where they're breaking tackles and there's a hole. I'm looking for a little more daylight for the running backs work, knowing you're going to get a junk defense.
I'm with you on that, Andy. All right, that's the final word. Thank you, Andy. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Rebel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to RebelXP.com for more info.